All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Mood Podcast, episode 51.
51, yes.
51, yes. We are almost at 1 year. We do have something special as a topic plan for next week for the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, but I can't believe it's almost been a whole year. I am your host, Blue Squadron, joined as always by my co-host. We'll start with Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon. I'm an Awakening Musume Man with 765 gear score. I do a lot of endgame PvE content, such as Olens, the dungeons. Currently working on finishing knowledge in Ulakita and then working on the Null. And you can find us over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVTV before the T. And also, happy 8th anniversary.
Happy 8th anniversary. No kidding. at least for some of us who are actually loyal to the game. It's like Jay's like 4th anniversary, some casual, you know. And my boy Blombear.
Hello, it's me, Blombear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/Blombear, where I like to party, grind Olens, and work on my merchant ring. I actually recently this week I got a duo demo drop. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was there. It's like, wait, isn't that rarer
than the freaking merchant ring?
That's insane.
Yeah. Feels amazing.
That's crazy, bro. You
it's
know,
almost as good as the merchant piece, right?
Not even close.
Before we get started, Jay, you and I need to have a discussion.
Hi.
I'm gonna call animal control on your raccoon. I'm gonna make sure it gets euthanized. Yeah. Like that thing. Yeah, bro. What do you mean? What's wrong with little Jay? That thing has been dumpstering me for like the last 6 days.
He's been farming all those Poseidonity.
Yeah, he's. Farming me. It's worse than any creator I have ever seen. I don't understand it. The dude's crazy, man. Oh my gosh.
We love Lil' Jay.
If you guys don't know, Jay added an AI to his stream. And it responds to the questions that you ask it in chat. And if you ask it about me, it is particularly savage. Although kind of based when he talks about Garnier, to be honest. All right, so our first topic today is the BDO 8th anniversary. And I did really want to talk about, let's talk first about this anniversary, how we feel this is going. I'll be honest with you, it's incredible that the game has been in service like this for eight years like this, and it's still a super healthy community and environment. That's absolutely wild to me. So big props to Perlibus and all of them for constantly having the active updates that make us keep playing the game so regularly. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want my honest thoughts, guys, I think that this anniversary was the worst anniversary we have ever had in terms of events. I'm just saying
you're not wrong.
Okay?
I don't think you're wrong about that one.
I'm just saying it. Jay doesn't want to pony out for like anything crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's actually insane. I don't want to complain, but like also I'm American, so like it's what we do, right? So
Naturally.
I don't understand, like, okay, I don't know. How do you guys feel, Blonde? What are your thoughts on the current anniversary here?
I feel like it's tough. We've had some crazy anniversaries in the past, like whether it was Pearl Shop deals or the giveaways or different things. I feel like we've gotten a little desensitized because of the amount of giveaways they do at the Calpheon Ball, the Hideout Ball. We got the anniversary. We, you know, all these different celebrations. I feel like, you know, when they kind of do like the usual casual stuff, it's kind of like, man, this is it. You know, you're expecting it to get bigger and bigger every year, but I feel like this is one of those years where it's like, okay, this is the standard, you know. Maybe they're saving for the 10-year anniversary, you know what I mean? That's what I'm feeling out right now. Next year will be like kind of and then 10 years is going to be like, oh my gosh. So,
oh my god, 10 dream horses for free. Oh my god, 10 J hammers.
No, just give everyone a free T10 because I still won't have my doom by then.
Oh, T10 for the 10th anniversary.
Yes.
Oh my god.
It's free.
But I think it's been okay. It's not spectacular. I'd say it's the worst quote unquote one this year. Or out of all of them so far, but it's, you know, it's just natural. You're gonna have one of the ones that just doesn't feel spectacular. But if we're including the Oasis anniversary party, that's kind of goes the other way for me. That was awesome.
The Oasis anniversary party, you can't even compare that. Okay, that's in person. All right, give me a break right now.
That's amazing.
Compare the two. Jay, how do you feel about it? Like, what do you feel about it?
you know, everything that Blondbear touched on, I kind of agree with, is that it was pretty standard for what their anniversary was, and because of all the other things that have been happening around it, it just made it seem smaller. But I felt like it was like pretty, you know, pretty normal for the things they've given away, in terms of like rewards and events and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I can't really complain, because you know, yes, the game has been, I've been playing this game for a while, and so I'm kind of, again, desensitized to like all the stuff that we've been getting. I feel like we've been spoiled, that if we don't get spoiled more, it doesn't feel as impactful, you know. So
they should spoil us though. I feel like a Genshin Impact player right now. Like, on God, like what is this? Like, why are we only giving away like a hot time event right now? Like, what's going on? Like, I feel like they really didn't like celebrate it a whole lot. I didn't see like did they have fireworks or anything like in any of the major cities? Was there a GM event or anything either? Like, that you guys know?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Like, there used to like in previous years, I feel like there was like GM events and stuff. That used to happen all the time, and like they would come out and like talk to us, and then like the GMs like would spawn in. This is around the time that the GMs would like spawn in at your grind spot and buff you. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, and you wouldn't even have to go to the battle arena, and that was really cool to me too. You know what I mean? I understand maybe they don't have the time or something to do that, but like, I don't know. These events kind of felt lackluster. What was your favorite anniversary event? First of all, what was your first anniversary in BDO? And then what was your favorite? Your favorite one, Jay. I think you're the youngest amongst.
Hi.
So we'll start with the youngest.
Well, I started playing in 2018. It was just like right after the anniversary, so I guess my first one was like basically the next year, 2019. I'm trying to remember what the heck happened in 2019.
Right.
That's the issue that I'm having right now.
You but don't maybe even that's remember the issue
that I can't remember.
Oh my god. Was it the third anniversary?
It was 2019, so I think it was the third or fourth, depending on when they started the game.
Okay, yeah, mine was, and what was your favorite anniversary event?
Favorite anniversary? Probably the last year. Last year. I think they,
okay, so what'd they do that you liked last year?
They had the Black Desert 7th anniversary thing.
That doesn't help me, Jay. Tab. Yeah, 8 minus 1 is 7. That's how that works.
Yep.
Come on, man. Like, what was the event that you liked so much?
I'm trying to freaking remember.
He
right
doesn't
now.
Even it's remember. Like, that's why I'm pressing him. He doesn't even remember what the events were. He has no idea.
Yeah, let me come back to you on that.
That's fine. I'm the next youngest, so I'll share my thoughts. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure, Blonde, you've been playing since launch, haven't you?
Since launch, yeah.
Yeah, I've been playing since Steam release. So my first anniversary was the second anniversary, and that was, I think, the second anniversary was incredible because they handed out like a free boss box. That's basically all they did. I'm gonna be honest, that was it. But like back then, boss gear was infinitely rare. Like, you could not get it. It was my very first piece of boss gear. I had full tri Grunel on. I was cranking, guys. Like, I was geared, okay? I had duo witch's earrings on. I was kind of a specimen. But when I got that box, I opened it up. It had a 30% chance to get a Kudum and, like, a, you know, 10% chance for all the other ones. I got Kudum. Didn't care. I still have that Kudum on my account today. It's still the Kudum that I use. It's just a dagger now. It was an ornamental knot when it came out. And then I bought the Zarka about a few seconds after I got the Kudum. I sniped the Tri Zarka off the marketplace because Dark Knight had just been nerfed and everyone was dumping. And I was profiting from that. So the third anniversary was actually my favorite. Because that was the duo accessory event, if you guys remember that. So back then we had to do dailies every day for like a month and a half. Okay, but in every week it was a new accessory. So like if you did your daily every day, you had they would like gift you a base ring basically, and then they would give you attempts for grinding every day. And then you would just click it. You were guaranteed a duo at the end no matter what happened. But like you had like a 30% chance of getting try. And this event went on for like 6 weeks. I got one try. one, and I had to get it through the guaranteed system, because if you failed five times, they let you get one guaranteed one. There were other people that just walked out of the event with full tri accessories. It was nuts. It was crazy. But like back then, to give away a duo ogre ring, it was so much work. It was crazy. You had to work every day, but you made sure you logged in because the duo ogre was worth it. Like the duo, like the duo Bassy, the duo Crescent, all of that stuff was super, super worthwhile back then. And it's just so much fun. And I remember those events were just so impactful. I will say that the way they designed it, I probably wouldn't like it so much today. Because like it would require me to do dailies every day, and I don't want to do that anymore. But like back then when I was just super invested in the game and like constantly like trying to discover new thing, everything in the game was new to me back then, and I was just having so much fun. Even a year into the game, I was still felt like I was discovering everything for the very first time. That third anniversary really kind of stuck with me. And then like some of the other anniversaries that have happened since then, I've really enjoyed as well. I think the anniversary event after that, they handed out tri boss gear. A lot of people remember this because they handed out the tri boss gear, and then COVID happened and they immediately started the Oasis event, and our tri boss gear was completely worthless and everybody vendored it. So like if you still, it's the suppressed gear. Yeah, everybody immediately just got rid of it because you could just buy tri boss gear from a vendor at that point. Like it was obnoxious. But like Blonde, I'm curious, what was your favorite anniversary event?
Honestly, at this point, because there's been so many, I can't even remember. I'm like Jade, where I do remember there were some really good years where, like, I think it was anniversary 5, 6, 7, where it was some really good times. Like, they had some banger events. But it's kind of, like, weird. I'm almost desensitized because they do so many in-game events already where it's, like, drop rate events or this or that. Those used to be a little bit more rare than they are now. I feel like they kind of come a little more often. Back then, when they did, like, a month of, like, an anniversary event drop rate, it was kind of crazy. So there was a few years they did like stuff like that. There was somewhere like the pearl sales were like really crazy, where it's like a pearl or 10 pearls for all this random stuff to add to your account, or it was loyalties or certain things like that. I can't particularly point out every year because I kind of literally haven't stopped playing BDO since the launch, but there were definitely some really, really good ones that got better incrementally over the years. And like I said before, I think this one just kind of is like, it feels stale. It's kind of a good event. We got drop rates. We got all this stuff. You know, the pearl sales are kind of okay and whatnot, but I feel like it's kind of, it feels a little lackluster because I do remember them doing like a lot more in-game events. There was one event where they literally like shut the lights out. They turned it nighttime and they did a bunch of fireworks. Like, I don't know if that was a New Year's event or around the anniversary or something, but they've done that kind of stuff before.
Yeah, it hypes it up.
And yeah, and I feel like this year's just kind of like last year. But, you know, again, you got to have a bad year to have a bunch of good years. You know, you kind of put it in reference. I can't name it one specifically, but the last few were good. I do remember the accessory enhancing ones. I do remember the suppressed gear. And then the ones where they handed out the box was kind of nuts because everybody was on the NPC on the hill in Velia grabbing that thing. And it was crazy. It was like Vel's Hearts, Garmos, boss gear. There was a box where they had all kinds of stuff. It was insane. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. No, like I think that like the GM and CM is like my second favorite thing that I like so much about like the anniversary events in recent past is that like I feel like the CM GM team really comes out to like interact with people. It's not just like BA buffs in the battle arena, or like GM buffs in the battle arena. It was like they would just spawn in next to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the streamers. It was like, you know, everybody's like, oh, a GM just spawned in and buffed me. Well, like, whoa, what? Where'd I get this buff from? You know what I mean? That was really cool. Yeah, it was fun. And I understand that, like, yeah, okay, they may not get as much appreciation for that, but there's like the little stuff that I liked so much. I also liked, like, if they would come out in the world and, like, do fireworks or something and just, like, kind of interact with people. And it's like, hey, it's the Black Desert Anniversary. Woo! Instead, this year, all I feel like we got was, like, you can type Black Desert 8th Anniversary in the chat. And, like,
I remember that.
Like, that's it, man. That's all you get, bro. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, you, and then the hot time of it, which, like you said, I don't know, I'm just kind of desensitized to it. Like, I just... Yeah. Like, okay, I'll be honest with you. Okay, what event gets you the most excited nowadays? Even the desensitized one. Which ones do you like the most? That they do, like, kind of regularly.
Oh.
I like the tag events, personally.
The tag
I like being able to tag
of,
and like move stuff around.
The tag events are kind of that moment where it's like, I'm kind of fine with the class I play and I do stuff, but the tag events are kind of like, you know what? I could just kind of try something. Maybe I'll play a witch for a week. I don't know. I think it's a lot of, in my opinion, I think it's good content for content creators, people that do YouTube videos, people that want to try something out, even, you know, like players out there who are just wanting to try something out. I think they should do those more often. Because those ones are really fun. You get to try out all these other classes that you have all this gear on one class and you may have tagged another, but now you're like, I don't want to untag, and it's kind of a tough decision. I think the tag events are kind of brilliant. If they do it more regularly, it'd be better, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Do you think the tag events should just be permanent? Like, should you allow people to just roll to other classes for much, much cheaper? You know what I mean? Or is the solution just to add another tag? I don't know. That's a conversation for another time. Jay.
That's a long conversation.
What's your favorite? Yeah, it's a long conversation. I was like, what am I doing right now? Jay, what's your favorite event that they kind of run kind of regularly?
Run regularly? I'm trying to think. I always love the drop rate events, and that's like pretty regular because I'm a big grinder. But I feel like that's a boring answer. I'm trying to think of, I guess the events that like push you to do certain content. I feel like that's like one of the more like, hey, you know, there's this new piece of content. Hey, we're going to run an event for this contest. Oh, this new dungeon came out. Oh, you get double boxes when you run this new dungeon. Oh, the guild leagues came out. Hey, we're going to give you some extra rewards for, you know, trying this new content out, or like, those events that encourage you to do certain pieces of content, just like switch it up a bit, like, hey, you know, there's a cooking event, hey, let's do this double cooking dungeon. Yeah, and stuff like that really like help you switch it up, because you know the monotony in the video so can sometimes burn you out, and I feel like these events help with that monotony or prevent that burnout, you know.
And we talked about a few weeks ago or the other week, but I like that recent event for the built cup thing. The cup event, I think, is the if they do event, that regularly or more often, I think that could be something really great. It's one of those like things that players are also working on while they're also working on other things, or they're just going to grind to buy it while they're working on one spot. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's not a piece of gear, but it's something that kind of goes on your gear, and like you're going to grind anyway, so like why not get that or get like other supplemental items to attach. I think that's I think those events would be really good if they did those regularly, or something
about,
in that style.
What about like your favorite event that's like super unique that they don't do often? For me, it was Mysteries of Summer.
It's Mysteries of Summer every time.
Everybody's answer.
It's not even a question. It's Mysteries of Summer every
where,
time.
You know, like the community of Black Desert had to like figure out these in-game puzzles and go to these obscure locations to find out the mystery.
They should have done that for the anniversary.
Yeah.
Like they should run that for the anniversary. Like, hey, we're sponsoring this. All of the Black Desert, people are allowed to, like, or like our players are allowed to get involved. You have to solve these riddles, and like it's gonna take game knowledge from like, you know, years ago, and like it, or like maybe you could give hints from like every year, one from every single year of Black Desert service, or I don't know, like have people go on challenges. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, oh, dude, that would be so sick. Do you have any idea of the content that I would farm off of people watching them do the event? I probably wouldn't even do it. I'd be so caught up in videotaping everyone else trying to do the event. It would just be unreal.
It would be like, really good.
Okay, maybe this is like an unpopular opinion, but I really liked the freaking jump puzzles with the platforms.
Same.
I like that a lot. There was this... Yeah, the kind of rage-inducing ones. I remember there was this one, I think it was the 2020 Mysteries of Summers, where you had to go to Shurikon Necropolis.
Yes.
And at the top of the peak, there was the platforms, and somebody had to bring a stupid little sheep thingy to sacrifice. Remember that?
Yes. The Vengeance title one. That one was so good. I think that's one of the only Mysteries of Summer I actually completed. The other ones, I just... I don't know. I just crazy for
I got stuck
it
at the,
that was
at
good.
The hot air balloon part where you had to like escape.
Yes.
I never finished it,
I remember,
because like I couldn't do it for some reason. I guess it's, I don't know,
yeah,
it just wouldn't spawn me on the platform.
Having one of those things where it's like weird timing, lag, desync, internet stuff, it's like it's really tough when they do it around that stuff. But other than that one portion that I think that's what most people got stuck on, I love that event. That was so good.
Another cool thing was the Like they gave away these like one of a kind special items, like the Black Pegasus and the Lion's Ring. Even though like I didn't get it, it was cool to just have like a chance to
Oh,
get
yeah.
something cool. And then if you know, let's say you know somebody who got it, and you're like, hey, I know that guy, and we're friends, you know.
No, definitely. I think that a close runner, like obviously Mysteries of Summer is kind of everyone's favorite event if you've ever experienced it because it's just so grandiose. But I think that one of the good other events that kind of comes a little bit year round, they started it like 2, 3 years ago, was the Halloween event that they did with Marnie. I thought that event was
I
fantastic. Like
love the
you had
Halloween
seasonal
events.
events. You had this the giant octopus, the boat,
Yeah.
Marnie and his whole hot self
It
was there.
changes the
You had
world.
oh
You
yeah dude,
know,
that
like,
was super awesome.
yeah, man. Like,
Did
I
you see
love
Marnie's
that.
old model?
No, I haven't.
So it's like
Own.
this short old man, and then when they revamped him, he's like this freaking K-pop star all of a sudden.
Yeah. He's Howl from Howl's Moving Castle.
Exactly.
No, I think that that one
Amazing.
would be like obviously Mr. Summer's hands down, but out of any other event, I definitely would say that the Halloween event, ever since they started doing like the they did the what was that show on Netflix, the where you do the one where you're they're doing it for the money and they get eliminated or whatever. That they did the running event where you gotta look and not see. Like you gotta turn around or stop moving. The stop go game.
Monster
Squid
underscore
Game.
R
Squid
just
Game. Yes.
resubscribed for
Them
six
doing like the
months.
Squid Game
07
thing at the
Mr.
same time that
Squadron.
came out. Them doing the secret puzzle thing where you go in and there's all like you have to like do the puzzle where you're sneaking through everything, gotta get all the way. That was hard. And there were so many people doing it, but it was so I thought it was fantastic. I
Dude,
really liked it.
someone in the Pearl Abyss office, like one of the developers, loves Squid Games. They love that show, man.
It was
Because
crazy how
like
fast it came in the game
it
right
was,
after the show.
well, I mean, it was that, and then like at the Oasis event, the very first Oasis event, they had us pair off into groups, and the first thing they have us do is they okay, first we're gonna elect a team lead. Everybody points at me. I'm like, I don't want to be team lead. They're like, too late. You know what I mean? Well, then we all had to pick a shape. I had never seen Squid Games before, so I'm not, they're like, no, the leader doesn't get to pick a shape. I'm like, what the hell? Like, you get an umbrella. I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. It was not cool. It was not fun. Like, they had us literally do the sugar cookie thing at the Oasis event live with people. And to be clear, I got the furthest on the umbrella. I actually almost got it because, and I had never
Oh, the
seen the show before.
Dalgona.
Yeah, I had never seen the
Right,
show before. I
Dalgona.
just knew as a biology major, I was just like, well, I'm just gonna make the whole thing a little gooey mess, and I'm just gonna press on it. You know what I mean? With my saliva. But like, they love that. Then the again, like the red light, green light is exactly the same as Squid Games. They even have a
Fantastic. Oh my
firing
God.
squad. They're even
Did
shooting
they
at you
shoot
when it
you?
ha- Yes, they're shooting you.
What?
Like, yeah, you're running. That's why you have to get in the machine. Because like you get in the machine and then you run and she turns around and you stop and they're like aiming at you. And whoever moves, they literally just blow you the oh, away, man. It's crazy.
Oh
It's
man.
insane. I love that event because again, it changes the world. It feels super unique. It's one of the events that I actually go get involved with in the world. So like any event that can get someone like me engaged, because I am not gonna do something that I don't want to do. It is just that simple. I won't even do boss splits. I won't do like I won't even grind at efficient spots if I don't want to. It's just the way that it goes. But like if you can get me to engage with an event, you're kind of gaming. And the event that I engaged with before that was the Sea Palace event.
That was cool.
That was a very fun event too. The
I love
Terminate
that one.
event is an event that I will engage with every time because again, it changes the world. I think it's super cool. It's not exactly a low effort event, and it's repeatable too. They can basically do it every year and kind of reskin it a little bit. Just do the same thing, but like, you know, mix it up. But like, that's when Mysteries of Summers came in. So like, the Terminate event was my favorite event of the year because I got to watch all of the monkeys run around the world of BDO trying to desperately complete these quests to try to be the first one to the finish line, like Ready Player One. You know what I mean? It was just so cool to me. I just absolutely love that. And I just don't feel like we see events on that scale anymore. Like we did the Sea
No.
Palace, but like I don't really see the engagement coming out of events that aren't Mysteries of Summer. If they brought Mysteries of Summer back, I think it would be the biggest hit that it had ever been. I think we just scared them away.
I don't know how I forgot this. I'm thinking of BDO events as like things that they do and then all players participate. But do you guys remember the I don't remember what it was called, but it was basically like the players D&D adventure with the GMs that it was like me and Huntler. He was Kalia, and we had to go and party up with like and do all these challenges. Yeah. Remember, it was like 10 different trials. Mm-hmm. We had to run around the world and do these random things, and at the end we had to fight Divios with like with AP DP Blackstones and all that stuff. I don't know if that's considered the same style of event, but
that was cool.
They did a few of those. That was one of the coolest. As a participant, it was one of the coolest things I think I've ever done in BDO. Mm-hmm. Probably my most memorable moment was
that's
doing
more like
that.
Community focused events, you know?
Yeah, because like you know we're fighting to get to get these codes. There's like five different streamers, and then the Black Spirit channel or the Black Desert channel is also doing it, and they're like going between them on their stream. Like if you watch the VOD, it's literally like them highlighting the different streams, and then there's like a voice changer guy who's doing the challenges, and it's like it was incredible. It was so cool. And like I played really hard and doing all the puzzles, like you were unlocking like different codes for people as you kept going along, like, and it wasn't one of those where it's like, oh, you're unlocking the codes but we'll give them at the end anyways. No, this was real, like all the codes. They didn't give you the code if you didn't unlock it. Like, it was crazy.
We were in one too for, Blomberg with Sakrakia, right?
Oh yeah, we did
that one with
we did that one as well. there's so many of those cool moments that are absolute 10 out of 10. And I know I talked to some of the GMs and CMs about like how hard they had to do to work on that event. It took a ton of effort and time to even get everything to that point. That would be amazing to do something like that again. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, like, so events are not super different than content creation. That you really want community engagement. You're looking for engagement, right? If a YouTube video is going to succeed, it's because the YouTube video got a lot of comments, got a lot of likes, right? You want video engagement. You don't want just people to just see the video. You want them to have a reaction and get involved with the video. In the exact same way, you really want to make events that people are going to get involved with. It's not just the ones that necessarily just to have you logging in and collecting rewards. Those are great. Yep. You're always going to have those, right? Those videos exist. But like the real events, the ones that stick with us, the ones that we should see for the anniversary event are the ones that kind of want us to get involved, right? Not necessarily require us to get involved, but like you really want us to get like to go out and have engagement. You know what I mean? Like I would love if they would just... This is just spitballing, and again, I'm going to use the ocean as like an example, but if the GMs just like got on their GM boat and started sailing around and the community had to try and sink them, that would be a super, super fun event. And it would get everyone to come out. Well, I'd be out there on my advance. You know what I mean? I would be making content off of it. Like people would come out and watch that. Even if you're not like a boat person, you would tune in to watch that, right? If it is on the main channel or even if it's on my channel or whatever, like people would come out to that event. You know what I mean? Or you could choose to like try to side with the GMs. Like if you're on the GM boat trying to keep it alive, you know what I mean? Like you could get a certain reward if the GMs stay alive for a certain amount of time, right? Like again, you can get people to come out and interact with you through any number of means and fun ways. And that, as crazy as it sounds, is actually a PvP event. Like that's like a boat PvP event. That's crazy. That's outside the box thinking. Mm-hmm. I might do a similar event on my stream, where like I just sail around on my advance and just try to run from people. I think that would be fun, right? Like it would make people feel like pirates. Also they wouldn't feel bad for sinking me. It is what it is. But like, okay. All right. I think we've talked a lot. Anything else to add kind of about the, like the anniversary events and stuff like that? Again, I feel like it's kind of crazy that I'm the only one that like had an anniversary event that I really like truly liked more than the others. That's crazy to me. You guys don't remember anything.
It's just one of those things. It's just been around a block for so long, you just kind of forget things, you know?
That's insane, bro. Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is kind of semi-related. Is AFK activities in BDO. I was talking about this on stream yesterday. I don't even AFK anymore because I don't feel like there's anything. I used to AFK, so like... I won't start from like the beginning of time, but like recently I've been AFKing, basically just to get life skills up on alternate characters so I could have 20 seconds tap time. Well, now the event is basically now like all, you know, all the life skills are going to be merged. So like, why do I care anymore? You know what I mean? Like, so like, I don't really feel like there's a reason, to really like AFK on my account at like the, now on EU, there's a reason for me to AFK. So usually if I'm going to AFK, I'll just go over to EU, and I'll AFK over there. But like, I'm curious, what's it, Jay, are you still on the dummy?
I mostly have been doing overnight, horse training, cause it's just like really easy to set up. And it was like a really good way for me to just passively get T10 materials. Cause, they also recently increased the chance of getting Imperial Steeds, which if you get one, you basically get a free tap on your T10.
Yes.
And yeah, for a while I did used to do dummy training cause, but I, you know, I stopped mostly after 66 cause it doesn't really matter after that point for the most part. Do we count like semi AFK stuff, like bartering? And if so, then that's what I've been doing lately. Just passively over time.
But no, you can't really count bartering. You can't really count bartering because it's not like an AFK activity that you can do like all the time, right?
Like you're going to sleep and you're setting this up.
Yeah, right. That kind of thing. Blonde, what do you do?
Like complete AFK,
Yeah. I used to do fishing for a very long time. And then what I've been doing now more than ever is horse training for the horses. You know, you do the horse training, and like Jay said, they recently changed the Imperial thing. So it's really, really nice now where if you're breeding like two tier eights at level 30, they're going to like have a double, like it's like a 4%, 5% chance, I think, now to have like a Imperial steed. I was just doing that. It's nice money. It's nice money. You get a bunch of the things and, you know, tapping the T10s. I feel like it's just one of the most worthwhile ones. Because if you just go tame a horse, train it, sell it, like, make a little bit of money, and if you do it with the wagons, it's even better. And then if you have like, if you now it's crazy, if you balance those around the events where you save all your horses, wait for one of those events where you get the materials from turning them in, and you load all your storages full of horses, you could be like kind of rolling in the dough for those events. But that's all I've really been doing. Yeah, that's my main thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I
remember, sorry, go ahead.
I AFK. So when I started the game, obviously I AFK fished, but this evolved very quickly. Then I went to AFK processing because I felt like it was more money. But back then, it was significant amounts of money. If you could AFK overnight, you could literally make like 6 to 10 million silver. That was insane.
I was gaming.
You know what I mean? That was nuts because that was an hour a half. That was like an hour to an hour and a half of grind worth of money. Nowadays, if I could AFK for like a billion silver a night, yeah, I would be AFKing. You know what I mean? That's essentially what it was like. That's how crazy the inflation has been, by the way. You know what I mean? That's nuts.
Yeah.
To even think about. But like, I just don't feel like AFK like life skills are even like super worth doing anymore for like really late game players. For like early and mid game players, sure, they're moderately engaging because like you're trying to develop your life skills. To be honest with you, all that you're really doing is like, okay, I need to get AFK horse trained so I can get my T10 attempts, or I'm trying to get my horse training up, or like, you know, my process isn't where I want it to be, or whatever. Like, okay, well, then I can see it. But like, once you've got all that stuff done, or you're at the level, like, you know, being on a dummy is something that a lot of people will go do. But like, once you reach a certain level, it's just not worth it to do that very much anymore either.
Yeah, so I think that the designs could be better. Like the way we currently have it is like, yeah, you're doing it like back in the day, it was life skilling for leveling up your life skills, but also money. But I think that I personally really like the way that horse training is. I feel like more life skills should be the AFK ones, at least should be like horse training where, yeah, you're kind of making some money. So it's like kind of worth your time, but you're also leveling up your skill, but you're also getting all these supplemental materials too, between the dailies. And this is obviously just for the T10, which is related to training, but you're getting like fern roots and you're getting all these supplemental things. And then you're also like getting a chance to do like it's like an event in an event in an event for the life skill where you're getting like the mythical breeds or whatever, the special ones, the Imperial ones, where you can get the 10 feathers and all these other materials. I think that they could do something where they make more life skills similar to that. I don't know how essentially, but like with that, I'm just collecting all these materials, and then I'm going to go for a big tap at the end of the week or the end of the month or whatever, and I'm getting all these secondary side materials. And I think that's a really good way to design these skills that, like, you're AFK, and it's not just about silver anymore. I think it's about the materials and the collection of certain things, or, you know, getting these attempts. Because farming is similar to that, too. I know farming isn't 100% AFK, but it's like a 4 hours, go away, come back in 4 hours kind of thing, if, depending on your breed times, but... farming is also,
Okay. you go first. Ladies first, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I breed specifically for specific fruits, and you can do different things for different fruits, and you also get the other materials that you turn in for contribution or whatever. So I think they do a good job with farming sort of like that, but it could be with the Pitapat mole, you have that. And there's also some other stuff you can get. I think they do a good job with that, and I'd like to see that more. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, should we maybe have forms of, like, AFK life skilling, like horse training, for other life skills?
I would like that.
As, like, hunting, like an AFK version of hunting, AFK version of farming, AFK version of this or that and this.
You like doing aim training? Or something on your
hunter. And then it could work towards the things you mentioned, right? Like XP, a little bit of materials here and there, and then there would be more options in AFK, because I do think right now we are limited on the options of AFK stuff, right?
I
also remember someone mentioning in my chat that Beto Mobile has this sort of like family account content where you could use and send your alts to do certain content.
It's freaking awesome.
I looked into a bit system, like it's called like Path of Glory or something, and it's kind of like this family dungeon. You pick some of your alts to clear it in this like tower defense style mechanic, and maybe like a similar system using your alts could work. Maybe we could also incorporate, let's say, a node worker style system. Like, what if we could send an alt to a grind zone or something, and periodically it would maybe acquire loot there. It would be like an overnight thing, right? You're going on an adventure, AFK to Star's End or something. Maybe you bring back a disto overnight or something like that, you know? And I think with BDO also is continually adding new regions and new nodes. And the node system is kind of fairly outdated, right? There's so many useless nodes that have zero purpose, and maybe this could be a way to like repurpose them, you know?
Yeah,
we could even expand it further. I just thought that for like the other life skills too, like, hey, this is a cooking node, right? I could send myself to this, like, I don't know, cooking node or this farm node or this process node with my alts, and then, you know, we could, I don't know, do stuff to do those AFK activities that I just mentioned.
Yes.
For farming, you get farming XP and stuff like that, and this would be a way to do it through.
Yeah, no copium. I think that BDO Mobile has a lot of really cool mini game activities that BDO could use a lot from. I know we always talk about, like, there's people that mention that, like, grinding is like a means to an end, so it's not really content per se to get your gear and all that, and then, like, what do you do with it? A lot of people want more, and I feel like BDO Mobile has those little activities that, like, if we could just get just something to do, like a little bit of here, a little bit there, I think that there's a lot of potential. You know, and they're working on it, right? They got the boss buzz is kind of one of those things. The group boss buzz is going to be cool. The new guild activities. I think that would be really cool if we had more stuff like that.
I think that trying to bring almost any aspect of BDO Mobile into the real game is probably a recipe for disaster.
They're just cool modes to collect random things in mini games. Yeah, you think, like, those are like AFK, those in essence are a problem?
Like, well, the AFK stuff. Most of the mobile game is basically like AFK. Like, you can't really give people AFK rewards for, like, grinding or, like, send your... I know Jay thought the idea of sending your character on an adventure while you're AFK is super cool, but here's the deal. They tried that in Throne and Liberty when it first came out. It was not well received. Where you could just sit there and let your character basically grind. Now, it's not necessarily on the same scale. I don't think that we should necessarily be rewarding people for AFK grinding, right? Like, I would love to see the AFK life skills buffed in such a way that I want to log in and do them. Not necessarily because I have to, but because, you know, I have some sort of long-term progress that I'm reaching or, like, working towards, right? Like, hey, if you get guru fishing, you can try to fish for these, like, there are super rare fish in the game or something, but, like, I don't know. They'd have to buff, like, in buffing AFK life skills, you could also buff normal life skills as well. Like, if you're a higher level fishing, you get to have better, like active fishing, right? But then they'd have to buff active fishing. They did have systems like this in the past where like you can see more fishing hotspots because you're higher fishing level, but like they'd need to seriously buff it if it's going to be relevant at all nowadays.
I meant the active mini games in mobile. The AFK things, like, yeah, because in mobile they have like AFK grinding, AFK gathering. Like, they could innovate. I mean, and it doesn't have to be necessarily AFK. I know we talked about in the when we were talking about life skill revamps and all the different stuff podcasts, but I think that there is a system for it, and we could do it. And you know, more of that stuff is good. Just not the obviously the AFK stuff. I feel like they can add stuff to it similar to the horse system, but I don't think that's it shouldn't be a priority or anything. I think that we can, you know, the thing we're actually actively doing should be the main thing, right? And everything else is supplemental. I mean, people do actively horse train too. As much as people would see it as a AFK activity, and some people do active fish too. But yeah,
I mean, like I really do think that like AFK activities need to be buffed so that you, like, you want to do them and they feel meaningful. You don't necessarily have to buff the silver, but like give us some sort of long-term progression that we can work towards for being AFK all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like right now, I don't feel like it's even worth turning my computer on. Like it's literally just that simple. It's not worth the electricity I'm going to spend.
I mean, making it optional is kind of important too, though, right? Like we don't want to force everybody to feel like they have to. It's one of those things that if it's designed well, it could be like a complimentary thing to whatever, you know, we're working on too.
Right. Okay. Well, let's move right along because we talked for a lot of time about those two topics there. I do want to touch on the fact that we're going to be getting central servers. Is kind of a big deal for us. Currently, the servers for Black Desert are located in Los Angeles, California. And I think that this is one of the large things that kind of contributes to lag in a lot of cases and desync because, like, the people on the East Coast have been suffering. Honestly, the poor people that live on the East Coast have been suffering in every game that they play because for some reason, every single developer tried to buy servers initially in Los Angeles. Like, that's where everybody went to go have servers. And then slowly but surely, we're seeing more and more developers and publishers move their servers to more of a centralized location for North America. Do you guys feel like there's going to be like, can I ask you guys, do you live like West Coast, Midwest, or like East Coast? So you live West Side, okay. And then like Blonde, do you live West Side too?
Florida man.
Oh, so you're an East Coaster. Yeah, I'm in the Midwest. I'm basically sitting on where the servers are basically going to be anyway, so we're good. obviously, it's huge for me. This is a big W. But, like, do you feel like this is going to fix a lot of the lag problems and desync issues that we have, or do you feel like it's going to be more of the same stuff, but, like, people are just going to have slightly different ping now?
I don't know. I don't think I've never played a game where I've used like a VPN or anything to tell the difference. I'm sure I would notice the difference if I played, like, for example, if I have ping issues on League of Legends, I notice that. But I don't know. Back in the day, BDO felt laggy, and then some updates came and it felt better. My PC got better, so it felt better. So I don't know. From the PvPers I've talked to, they said it does feel crisp and it does feel really good. Mm-hmm. They are looking forward to it, but as a PvEer, like I think the only people that are really really affected are like people in EU that are playing NA or the people that are Australian playing in NA. You know, I feel like I don't really notice it that much. But if I PvP'd a lot more, I probably would be someone who'd be like, oh okay, like this is a big deal to me. So
yeah, I mean, like did you guys get to participate in like the global tests, like the global server test?
I did not.
Of course you didn't. You're not PvPers. Who are we kidding?
There it is.
Who are we kidding? They did put out a ping in our partner. They were like, hey, guys, we want you to try to get involved. I go, hey, Barcode, you guys want to go do this? And they were like, no, we're all West Coast. Are you crazy? We don't... we don't want central servers. You're crazy right now. I sadly did not get to participate in it. I really did want to, but I find it interesting that the server just crashed during Madaya Siege.
That was pretty crazy.
Like right after we won. And so we didn't like, obviously the siege basically never concluded. And that's a little ridiculous, but like, I don't know. Like I'm not entirely certain why. I don't know if it's because they stopped maintenance or it's very suspicious to me. But they went and did basically a global lab test of the new central servers. And then the main servers crash on the same day. That's very scary to me. I don't know if it's because they like stopped maintenance on the main servers or something. I assume that they're connected somehow. But like, it was scary to me that happened. I am very excited for centralized servers. I do think it's a start. I think that it will help with desync and lag issues. But I also think that that's not the only thing that needs to be done. I think that if they give us centralized servers and they give us specific Node War and Siege servers, just like they do for War of the Roses, I think that our lag issues kind of start to vaporize. There's always going to be like lag issues and stuff in BDO. That's always going to be there. But like, in every game, you're going to have that based on hardware. But like, I think that they would minimize it completely if they basically made like the custom servers for Node Wars. Keep in mind, there'd have to be one for Balanos, one Serendia, one Calpheon. Honestly, even if they just took away all of the one servers and made them just the Node Wars servers, I think that we would all just pile into the other servers, and it would be fine. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't it more of an issue on the servers, like the C servers? Don't they have like I don't know, 8 servers? Or something? Wait, and we have like 30 plus, so there might be an issue for them.
Yeah. So I mean, we're like, obviously we have more servers than they do, but we also have more people playing, I think, in North America, like a significant amount more people playing in NA. EU might have the biggest population. I'm not sure. I play on both. It's probably pretty close. Like based on the orders I see for stuff, but like I'd probably give it to EU if I had to guess, but like they've never told us who like has the most players, but I'd like to think it was NA, but pretty sure it's EU.
Usually our numbers look pretty similar when we're looking at like how many of XYZ items been grinded, how many this has been tapped. Every time they do one of those, it's pretty close, but it does sometimes feel like EU has more, and maybe it's we don't EU see it on more. The low end.
I mean, Every time someone in my chat asks me about, oh, how much is this? How much are your doubles now? Oh, we're still around like 80 bill. And they're like, oh, we're down to like 65. And then so I feel like there's just more people.
I think EU's always just been ahead of the meta. And he's always late to the meta, it seems.
Are we?
They're just smarter than us. We're the stupid people that belligerently throw money at the screen. Yeah, they actually understand the game. Yeah, that's basically how this works. Swear we're better at PvP, though. On God, they're better at recognizing trends and stuff. They have way more life skillers than we do. EU has way, way more life skills, or like life skillers in general. I'm not sure if their PvP scene is quite as big as ours either, but like, I think overall, EU seems like it's a little bit more active.
So I wanted to add also to ask you to explain like what desync is, because I think there's a lot of new players also coming in into BDO and they don't know what desync means in the first place. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely, Jae-hee Kim. I can explain that to you. His name was Jay. Your name is Jay. Coincidence? I think not. Okay. So yeah, for the I do this all the time, Jay. For the other people, not me, but for other people, can you explain it so that they know, and then we'll all know what desync is. desync, all desync means is that something was happening on your screen and something different was happening on someone else's screen. So usually when people refer to desync, it has to do with grabs or a CC of some kind. So like on my screen, I was in iframe before you got the grab off, right? Like, and on your screen, you very clearly grabbed me and then I just blinked away from you and you were like, what the hell? I got the grab, right? Like, so like that's desync. So like, I think that we see that decrease a little bit. A lot of that symptom, I think, is ping. In a lot of cases, because if you have a player with like 100 or 200 ping and then you have a player with like 1 ping, obviously the things happening on their screens are going to be delayed and different. And it's going to look different. And then the way the server kind of interacts with players with different ping is very strange in BDO. It's not consistent at all, and that's why people call it desync. Like sometimes the grab will go through and other times the iframe will go through. Really it just matters that you're just objectively the better player. You won the 50-50. Congratulations.
Which classes do you think benefit or like you know, get the most out of desync. You know what I mean?
Iframe classes generally get the biggest benefit out of desync. Grab classes would say that they benefit the least from desync. But I'll argue that grab classes also benefit from desync, and they also don't benefit from desync. Like, grab
goes both ways.
Yeah, it goes both ways. So, like, anybody that's a grab class that says, desync is just such a bad thing for my class. Well, it works in your favor half the time, and then it works against you half the time. But the classes that deal with it are the most, and like the matchups that deal with it the most, are the grab classes into the iframe classes, like Sork, like Dark Knight. Where you're just constantly blinking around all over the place.
I remember Danny was talking about, I think also Choice was talking about, like, how Zerker, they have this, like, one ability where, like, jumping around, and if you're, like, using mouse to move, you cannot, like, predict on the other person's end where they are actually at because how wonky that ability is. I can't, what is that ability called anyways? Blonde, you should know, you're a Zerker.
Yeah, Blonde.
It's the one where you're jumping
predatory
around.
Hunt.
Is that what it is?
Oh. Yes, it's SF. Predatory Hunt. Sorry, I had to... Yeah, like Frenzy Discharge, Claws, and so
on. Are you reading your skills?
No, no, I was in my head, my photographic I was like rolling through the Rolodex of like all the abilities.
You have literally been playing since launch, and you've been playing Berserker since launch, and this dude actually had to open the skill menu to check.
I... press the buttons. I don't read the buttons.
You don't read good. It is a Zerker problem. It do be what it is.
Should they maybe remove, like, sort of not have that? I feel like they're going away from that direction with the newer classes. They haven't really been implemented very many, like...
I don't think they're going to change old stuff. I think they're just going to make new stuff that's not that.
I think they are. They announced already that they're trying to standardize PvP among all classes in terms of, like... They've already mentioned that they're looking into trying to cap FPS for people, so that, you know, higher FPS equals higher DPS. But, like, I don't think that there's, like, realistically a way for them to do that. But they have addressed the mouse move stuff before, and they said that, you know, they're thinking about moving in a direction of just removing it from the game.
I thought they tried to do it and it broke a lot of classes. I mean, unless they're going to revamp things to make it...
Yeah, no, they'd have to revamp stuff.
I'm all for them doing that because
I think they should remove mouse to move. I really
do.
It's
very frustrating.
I think that the game has a high enough skill ceiling as it is that you can get, like,
we don't need another one.
Yeah, there's no reason for a new player to have to learn how to mouse to move on top of everything else, or even like a veteran player, because there's already enough skill expression in everything else that you're doing in combat that, oh my god.
Definitely.
That, like, there's already enough skill expression with everything that you do in combat that you don't need to actually add mouse to move on top of it.
I completely agree.
Like, I think that, like, if they just removed it and then they changed how some of the skills work so that, like, you know, there's no more mouse to move on that skill. I'll be honest with you, they don't have to change too much. Like Zerker, you just can't mouse move that stupid little jump anymore where you rock it off the ground like Iron Man. You can't mouse move that anymore. You can't mouse move yourself. You can't mouse move a frontal guard anymore. The way you're facing is the way your character is pointing, and that's just the way that it goes. You know what I mean?
And they've designed other classes like that. Like Guardian, for example, like her forward like dash thing that she does, like you're stuck in that. You can kind of turn your screen for some of those abilities, but I think they've definitely tried to keep it that way for every new class to set a standard. It's entirely possible they rechange some things. I think, you know, obviously players will be upset, though.
No, players would be upset, but, like, I mean, we would get over it because, I mean, Zerkers can't read anyway, so they're not even really going to realize that it happened.
That's very true.
What about, I know there's, like, certain abilities where, like, for example, Witch Equilibrium Break, when you mouse to move the equilibrium, you can move the forward guard around?
Sometimes it moves, and then other times the damage will move, but the frontal guard is, like, 50-50, it moves or it doesn't. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's when it... I don't think it's actually moving. I think you're resisting it sometimes. I've tried to move it. I've tried to move that frontal guard around. And it does move the skill. Like, Gore will come out of the ground in a different area. But, like, I can still get knocked over. I don't know whether or not it's moving. And, like, I would rather them just remove it altogether, to be honest. some classes have it, some classes don't. I don't think that that is really particularly all that fair. And again, the skill expression is already high enough in the game as it is. So, like, I don't really feel like mouse to move is required or wanted in most cases. But, okay. Anything else you guys wanted to talk about today? I mean, we kind of, like, rolled straight through it today. I don't even think we got to all the rest of the topics. That's okay. We'll use them for next week.
There is one from the topic thing I wanted to do.
Okay, hit me.
Go ahead, yeah.
What is each of yours biggest RNG carried moment in the game? Or your worst RNG moment in the game?
Okay. Oh.
I like that question, so... I wanted to know.
I mean... I think for me, it would probably be one-tapping my pen double belt. That was, like, the first sort of lottery moment I've had in Black Desert in the 5 years of playing. So it would be that. And as for, like, worst RNG moment, it's probably a tie between my Dine, which was, like, 75 attempts pre- and post-fail stacks, or my Dawns, which was, like, 71 attempts on a 250. Your turn.
Okay. Blonde?
No, you go ahead. I'll go last.
No, Blonde, I insist.
No, I don't think you want
I'm getting the support ticket ready.
We already know what it is.
Yeah, we already know what it is. Just tell him, Blonde.
Wait, what do you guys think it is?
I don't know. Which demo did we want to bring up? Yeah, which Black Star did we want to bring up? Like, is this a joke? So obviously it's the fact that you one-tapped all three pen debos, and then obviously the least carried moment is the fact that you're still grinding for your merchant ring because you're a loser.
Wait. I didn't one-tap them.
If
all.
He's 3 out of 6, it's
all.
It's,
I 3 for 6.
I one-tapped it, then I 2-tapped it, then I 3-tapped it. It's got a rhythm to it.
There's a difference.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then your least RNG carried moment?
Yeah, it's probably the merchant ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's well deserved at this point, I think.
Based. I think that my most carried moment in the game was I hit a duo Manos chess piece in one click. That was pretty carried. It immediately failed try, but you know what? It didn't take 44 clicks to get to duo, and we take those wins. And then I would say my least RNG carried moment in the game, I did spend 4 years in history grinding for the Elton piece. And over 2,000 hours of my time grinding for my first Elton piece. Yeah, I would say that we've all been carried and we were all carried equally. But, I think my most carried moment was the second Elton piece. I got like 2 hours into Deckia Hystria, but that means that my average for the Elton piece is still over 1,000 hours a piece. You know what I mean? Like, so like, I still don't really consider it particularly carried. I haven't gotten my merchant ring piece. All of my horse attempts have been roughly average. Gosh, dude, I'm trying to think. I've been kind of an average player. All of my RNG has kind of averaged out over the years. Like, I get really, really... Lately, though, like, the last 6 months or so, I've been kind of super unlucky. I've been farming L's, basically, for the last 6 months. But it's not to say I haven't been lucky in my BDO career. I've never one-tapped a Pen Devil or anything. I never one-tapped a T10 horse. I never one-tapped my Black Stars. I never... one tap to my pens, like armors or weapons. So like, I think, I got it. I remember a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, before I was a streamer, before I was in a PVX guild, and this was probably a year and a half into the game. So keep in mind, pen accessories did not exist in 2018. Okay. They did not exist at all. And I was a degenerate. Okay. The way I chose to do things is I would get everything on my gear wheel to Tet, and then I would roulette it all the way down to Pry. All of it. All 7 pieces. You're just throwing it in, right? Like, I would just throw everything in. I would just roulette it all down to pry with one durability. I would go back to Desert Fogans, and we would go again. You know what I mean? Like, I would put it all back to Zet, and I would do it again. Yeah. Well, eventually, I got to, like, a 220 stack, which was unheard of back then. That was crazy high. And I got so mad that I said, I'm throwing in my accessories. And I had just gotten, like, four TED accessories. I had three. And that was pretty good for back then. So I just said, screw it. I threw him in. Boom, fail. Boom, fail. The Ruins Ring hit pen. Bam, straight to pen. I had a pen Ruins Ring. It was one of the very first pen Ruins Rings on the whole server.
Oh,
that was awesome. The most carried I've ever been. And I still have that Ruins Ring. It's still on my character. I've never gotten rid of it. Just super cool moment. And like, yeah, that was definitely the most carried I've ever been. And then I failed like the next
highest.
Like,
go ahead.
I failed the next like 25 pen attempts in a row, so it evened out. I'm not joking. It was crazy. It went hard, but like, well, you know what? We got the ruins. So
we got the ruins, baby.
I was gonna say, I feel like the highest stack I saw like way back when was this clip of Jules.
Yes, Jules.
Everybody remembers Jules.
It was like a 320 stack or something, and he was going for Pen Zarka, and he's like deleting Krons from his freaking inventory because he doesn't believe in Kron. Oh man.
Oh, how times have changed. If you brought that clip up now and other EU players saw him throwing away Krons, he would be hunted. Like, on God, bro. No. But yeah, no, like, I think that, my favorite, I will say for what it's worth, my least RNG carried moment being in history for that long, it did account for the second best moment that I've ever had in BDO, which was actually getting the Elton piece. Which was funny because I got it on stream in front of like 200 people and nobody said a word because I was talking to chat and I didn't even see it. I didn't even know that I got it. It took somebody whispering me. They were
dumped water all over yourself and then you broke your gear.
Well, the worst part was 200 people are literally watching me get the piece. They know I've been grinding for 4 years and they were willing to let me go for another four. No one said anything. It was brutal, man. Like, it took somebody whispering me that was like, hey, man, did you just get the Elden piece? I was like, no, that was some, like, imposter account. It was definitely not me. Because, like, people have made those, like, Blue Squadron with a capital I or whatever, you know? But, yeah, like, nope, that was it, bro.
Or Blue Dragon.
Yeah, okay. You don't make... I'll put that raccoon down. You think I won't?
No.
I'll find it. Okay, let's do closing thoughts here. And then we'll get over to the dungeon probably.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do, okay, all right, we did Jay first before, we'll do Blonde first this time.
Closing thoughts, you know, BDO's been around for 8 years. I'm hoping for another 8. That'd be really awesome. There's tons of room for obvious improvement, but the game has something special about it since it's been going on for so long, and it still has a very lively community. As much as, you know, you'll see people saying, oh, dead game. The game has a lot of players playing it. Not everybody's a Twitch or YouTube person. Not everybody's, you know, into that stuff. But I met plenty of people at the Oasis event that are just gamers who, you know, barely knew some of the content creators, but they love this game. And, you know, it's awesome. I hope it continues. I hope they keep improving. I hope the quality of life keeps improving. It'd be really awesome. So I'm all for it. You can catch me at twitch.tv/Bombay where I play video. Every day.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Jay,
closing thoughts is that happy 8th anniversary, and we want you guys to tell us your most lucky and unlucky moments in the comments below.
Yes.
And I'm Jake and it's Lil Jay. You can find us over at twitch.tv/JakeandVTV before the T.
Right on. Yeah, us, Jay. Look at you going for that engagement, Jay. So proud of you right now.
That's good. That's very good.
Yeah, I'm Blue Squatter. There's always something happening on this channel. We've always got like 2 new YouTube videos basically every single day. You guys can absolutely check out, and I promise that they are bangers because we bring the heat on this channel. As for the Old Moon podcast itself, We're here every week. Sometimes it's Tuesday nights. Next week it'll be Thursday night, and then after that it'll be Tuesday night again. We're just trying to keep up with Blonde Bear's schedule, essentially. So we have the 1 year anniversary of the podcast coming up. If you guys love the podcast, make sure you guys can listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just make sure you hit that follow button. We do read all of the comments on the YouTube video. We take that into consideration for the next podcast that we have, and we definitely talk about it. Make sure you're commenting on the videos, guys. From all of us at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.